Good morning, and welcome to this morning worship and communion service for Sunday the 3rd of May from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. Our service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this the fourth Sunday of Easter. Here is love, the real thing. Not our flawed love for God, but God's love for us in sending Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the flock who gives his life for his sheep. The only reason we are here is that Christ, the good shepherd, has called us by name and encircled our lives with amazing grace. Our first hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Day by day, gate of grace, your love is poured into the emptiness of our souls. You share our joy so we might be a blessing to those all around us. You are generous to a fault that we might have glad and gracious hearts. Day by day, doorway to God's heart, you would lead us down the streets of discipleship and service, uncomfortable as they may seem to us, knowing that at the end of our journey we will find ourselves at home with goodness and mercy. Day by day, Spirit of openness, you watch over us so we will not wander into the busy traffic at the junction of sin and death, but will find our life in the front gardens of the kingdom. God in community, Holy One, we open the gates of our hearts to you. It's not just the material things, but the stuff that makes us who we are, our hearts, our hopes, our dreams, that we have trouble sharing with others. But the more we hoard, the less we trust God to use us and all our gifts in the work of the kingdom. Let us entrust our brokenness to our God, that we might be made whole. Why is it so hard to trust in your grace, generous heart? You promise to pour out blessings upon us, but we are reluctant to let go of what we have. We put a lock on our hearts and feelings while you share your precious Christ with us. You call us home for dinner, but we would rather keep playing in the shadows of life. Forgive us, goodness and mercy. Anoint us with the oil of grace until our hearts overflow with praise. Fill us with the living waters of hope so we can share with others. Feed us at your table of joy so we might follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, with glad and gracious hearts. When we would stand on sin's shoulders trying to peer through the windows, God throws open wide the front door so we can come in and live forever in joy. We are led through death to life. We are fed at grace's table. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us join in the prayer that Jesus gave to his followers, in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I bet you don't know how many sheep there are in this country. Well, there are about 33 million sheep and about 23,000 flocks. Even though that seems a big number, not many of us probably have ever met a shepherd, unless he used to live in the countryside. Most people live in towns or cities as we do, and we don't usually have much contact with farming of any kind. A shepherd's primary responsibility is to keep the flock safe and make sure they're keeping well and free of disease. And when the mothers are giving birth in the lambing season, he has to make sure that they are helped if they need it. And weaker lambs that are born will need special attention. When you're looking after them so closely, you get to know them, and the sheep get to know him. I say him, I mean him or her, as actually the only shepherd I have ever met was a lady. He also needs to take them where there is enough grass for them, and may have to herd them on from one area to another. To look after them this way, shepherds often live in caravans close to their flocks. It is in fact very important that the sheep and the shepherd do know each other so that they can follow him for better grazing or to keep out of the way of danger. So the sheep have to learn to recognise his voice or they can't follow him. In biblical times, most people would have known about keeping sheep and about other kinds of farming too, as most people worked on the land rather than in cities. But the shepherds had the same responsibilities then as they do now. For a sheep to be kept safe, it had to follow its master closely as he led it to good pasture. And there were so many more dangers then from wild animals such as jackals and wolves. To protect them, They were often brought in at night into small pens called sheepfolds, made of stone walls with thorns on top to stop wild animals from jumping over. These sheepfolds had a narrow entrance or gate so that the shepherd could count them as they came inside, and often the shepherd would sleep across this entrance to guard it. But if, say, a wolf did get inside, he would fight it, willing to risk his life to protect the sheep. Sometimes the shepherds would not actually own the sheep, but were employed by the owner to work for him. But it was generally thought that they did not care for the sheep so much, and that at the first sign of danger they would run off. So it's not surprising that Jesus told stories about sheep and their shepherds, as he was describing something everyone would know about. He told one of his sheep stories when he was being criticized for mixing with people who were considered sinners or led bad lives. He said in his story that the shepherd had had 100 sheep, but one day he found that one was missing. So he went off immediately to look for it, and the story says how happy it makes him feel when he finds it and brings it back home again. Jesus wanted to get the people criticizing him to understand that it made God really happy when someone who has done wrong things and goes away from him comes back to him. In another sheep story, Jesus describes God as the good shepherd and talks about all the things about a shepherd who loves his sheep, by which he means us. God knows every one of his sheep, and they know him and his voice, and so they will follow him. He leads them to good places to graze, and he looks after them, and above all, when there is danger, he is willing to lay down his own life to protect them. That's us again. He explains also that he is a bit like the entrance or the gate of the sheepfold, through which the sheep can come and go safely, but reminds us that anyone who tries to get into the sheepfold any other way is trying to steal the sheep, meaning those people who mislead us about God. Also, he says that shepherds who don't care about the sheep, that's us again, will abandon the sheep when they see a wolf coming and run away, and we can never put our trust in those kinds of people. So let's think about God as our good shepherd, who knows us and cares about us.
This reading is from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him, because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So, he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Our second hymn, The Lord My Shepherd I'll Not Want.
The Lord's my shepherd I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me on. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil. My cup, it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights. And I will trust in you, Lord. And I will trust in you,
for your endless mercy.
Christ will lead me home.
The early chapters of the book of Acts are exciting, as they tell the story of the rapid growth of the church, beginning with the 11 disciples witnessing the ascension of Jesus. There is the explosion in numbers brought about by the fire and wind on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's bold speech. These early days are punctuated by dramatic signs and challenging speeches, the healing of the lame man at the temple, and various other miracles and wonders, Peter and John's various testimonies and sermons. Our reading from Acts comes from this time, from the days after Pentecost. It gives us a snapshot of the early church, miracles and wonders from the apostles, close fellowship among the believers, sharing everything, eating together, worshipping daily, highly regarded by those around them, and growing in number every day. These were heady days, exciting times, and there is no doubt a part of us that wishes we had been there to witness it all, to share in it, and marvel at the flourishing of the church. Maybe we bemoan the fact that church isn't like that nowadays. Miracles and wonders are rare and more readily associated with some that we may be wary of. From time to time, some of us will eat together, and we may well lend one another books, but sharing more than that? As for worshipping daily, well, weekly is often enough, isn't it? And for some, monthly or twice yearly will suffice. As for enjoying the goodwill of all people, well, some are sympathetic towards us. Some may even admire us. But for many, we are an irrelevance, or a joke, or an insidious menace. And as for growing in numbers every day, don't even go there. Wouldn't we love to be part of a church like the one we see in these early chapters of Acts? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just go back to those days of wine and roses, those days of comfort and security, when everyone loved everyone, trusted everyone, shared everything with everyone. No fights, no arguments, just peace and new members added not once or twice a year, but every day. When all ministers were good shepherds, leading their flocks to comfort and abundance, still waters and groaning tables. Wouldn't it be nice if it was ever really true? Or if it was true, if it had lasted beyond the first century? You may find it a bit shocking that I would even suggest that something in the Bible was not true. But I believe that Luke, in writing the book of Acts, was not trying to be factual. He was reminiscing, perhaps 30 years later, about the good old days. He was reflecting on how he had witnessed the church grow from a small group in Israel to a large group that was spread all over the Mediterranean area. The controversies he wrote off in telling that story were with groups outside the church as it spread from town to town. Luke was looking back in nostalgia, remembering the good old days. And as we all know, our memories improve with age. We know for a fact, from both the Bible and other ancient sources, that all was not sweetness and light for the early church. Luke is recalling when the followers of Jesus continued to meet in the Jewish temple on a daily basis. Yet right after Jesus' death, his followers, even though they were all Jewish, were viewed with fear and suspicion. It was feared that their presence would bring down the wrath of the Roman government on them, and they would all be punished. There was fear that they were trying to change Judaism and make it unholy in the eyes of God. There was movement within Judaism to get rid of this bunch as quickly as possible. They were disruptive and disorderly. When the Roman Empire decided it had had enough of Jewish rebellion and stubbornness, they brought down their own solution in 70 AD. They tore down the temple and drove the Jewish people out of Israel in what became known as the Diaspora, and it lasted until their return after World War II. As a result of the Roman action, the Jewish authorities blamed the followers of Jesus and forbid them access to the synagogues. The followers of the Way, as Jesus' disciples were called, ceased to be a reform movement within Judaism and began the process of becoming a separate expression of the Jewish faith, which not long after became known as Christianity. Even while this was going on, there was trouble within the church. The workload on the 12 became so great that more staff had to be employed, and not just one, but 7. Aside from this history, we also know from the writings of the Apostle Paul that all was not sweetness and light within this early community either. Paul complains of people coming to the daily bring and share meals and taking all the food and drink, leaving little or none for those who came later. It's because of that controversy that we have the instructions for communion that we shall hear later. There was distrust and disagreement over who was an authentic minister. The church split over how Jewish one had to become a Christian. There was also dispute over how to understand this Jesus phenomenon. Paul argues strongly in his letters against the beliefs of some followers called the Gnostics. He also pleads with people to act more like their founder and quit squabbling with each other. The list could go on. I'm sure you get the idea. The church was just as imperfect then as it was now, and so were their ministers. Paul refused to travel with another early missionary, John Mark, because he thought he didn't have the right attitude. But they did have something. The church really was on fire with God's Spirit. They had good news and they wanted to share it. They spoke to a hunger that was real. People were hurting and living in despair. The church brought healing and hope. It grew like wildfire. If you looked at this passage from Acts for a church growth strategy, you would find this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And it also says, and day by day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. It does not say that they devoted themselves to evangelism and trying to fill the church. It's easy enough to miss. But perhaps a large part of church growth is not really about overt evangelism, but about being the kind of community people would want to join. It's what we are trying to do in these strange times, to keep the essence of what makes the church at the heart of what we do. The early church was apparently able to overcome the barriers that usually kept people apart. They shared what they had in common. This would mean that the rich had less and the poor had more of what they needed. They cared for the poor and disadvantaged. They worshipped and broke bread together. This trust in God was at the root of their faith. What part of that makes us squirm? The prayers? Probably not. Spending all that time with the other followers of Jesus? Maybe. Some of us do have to go to work. Many of them did as well. I suspect, though, it's that part about holding things in common and sharing with those in need in such a radical way. I suspect that the first reaction of most of us would be, well, that was a completely different time. And it was. But I think it can still present a credible challenge to us to live out our faith in very practical ways here in Cheam and Wallington in 2020. The reading from John's Gospel is also about the church, the community that Christ is building. Here, the members of the church are likened to sheep. We might get a little defensive about that, since we regard sheep as somewhat silly creatures, but that might not be a true picture. I recall a news report from a few years ago about sheep which had learnt to get past a cattle grid. Whether sheep are stupid or not, we're not really that insulted, since we know that the main point of this metaphor is not to emphasize that we are like the woolly creatures, but that Jesus is like a shepherd. If we had read just a little further in the next verse, we would have had one of John's famous I am sayings, where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. This was a title that would be readily understood by Jesus' hearers. Israel's kings of old were understood to be a shepherd to the people, someone who would care for them, not just lord it over them. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah use the image of a shepherd watching over his flock to describe God's care for his people. And of course we all know the most famous of the Psalms with its shepherd imagery. We sung a version earlier. So here John tells us, Jesus is the shepherd to his people. He's like a good shepherd who cares for all the flock. He is one who will put his life at risk, sleeping in the gateway of the sheepfold at night, to keep the sheep safe inside and predators safely outside. The sheep know his voice and respond to it, and he calls each of the sheep by name. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is the door? It can be seen as a way of saying that Jesus is the way, the path, the opening to God. Jesus is the way to eternal life, to abundant life, to true freedom, the way to find grace and love and acceptance. Jesus is our door to God. But there is another way of thinking about a door. The classic hit song of the 1970s, Hotel California, by the Eagles, says, "You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave." But most doors work both ways. The traffic moves in both directions. To say that Jesus is the door could also be a way of saying that Jesus is the way that God gets to us. The imagery here in John of Jesus as shepherd, and in the Old Testaments in places like the 23rd Psalm, of God as shepherd, speaks of God coming to us. Jesus is the shepherd that seeks and saves, that goes searching for the one little lost lamb. God is the good shepherd who leads us beside still waters and to paths of righteousness. God's care is active, not passing. Psalm 23rd is one of the best love passages of Scripture because it speaks to our situation. We all need a shepherd. We all face loss. We all face fears and insecurities and difficulties and enemies. And it's a great comfort to know that we have a good shepherd. Not least in these uncertain and unknown times. This is a God who comes after us and seeks us and goes out of the way for us, who protects us and loves us. We might be better thinking of Jesus as the door through which God reaches out to us. Is Jesus the door through which we may reach God, or the door through which God may reach us? The answer, of course, is yes. It's not either or, it is both and. Through Jesus we may reach God, and through Jesus God reaches out to us. And not only that, Jesus is our door from the world to God, and also our door from God back out to the world. If we think of the church as the sheepfold, we enter in through Jesus, and we go back out to the world through Jesus. Jesus leads us to God, but Jesus also leads us to a world in need. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving Father and Shepherd of your flock, we thank you for all your care for us through our lives. We know that you consider each one of us. You know us so well, and like a good shepherd, you count each one of us. You can name us and will come to our rescue as we stumble along life's rocky, narrow path. You sustain us as we attempt to climb over challenging hills, and uplift us as we go through the valleys of sadness, fear, and despair. In this time of pandemic, knowing you are here with us, we pray to you to help us to perceive you every moment, through the daytime wonders of your springtime creation and through the wakeful darkness of our nights. We pray that you will answer our calls to sustain our people, to calm our fears, and help us to fix our eyes on you, to learn to hold you in our hearts and in these ways to live in faith and hope in every moment of our days. We persistently pray to you for your comfort for all those suffering at this time in our community, our country and our world. We think of those who are very ill in hospitals, care homes and in their own homes, for all those families who have lost much loved members of their families, those lives cut short by little known and little understood disease. We pray that they might be surrounded and upheld by the love of family, friends and neighbours. May they be aware of your compassion for them and for your healing touch. We give deep and heartfelt thanks for all the doctors, nurses, care assistants and support workers, all the frontline services for their dedication, for their loving care, for their denial of self-interest, representing the best of human instincts to care, nurture and love. We give thanks for all those volunteers who have been inspired to help the vulnerable and lonely and the self-isolating members of our society. May we all be moved by your power and inspired by your Holy Spirit to help us transform lives around us. We pray that all these and other generous instincts should transmit to others in our societies and lead now and in the future, when the pandemic has ended, into more considered appreciation of what constitutes true value and is of real worth for the lives of all, for rich and poor, enfranchised and valued, and unenfranchised and unvalued. Help us to bring your good news to all, that all may be able to discern what is missing in their lives, and that the voids in their hearts may be filled by your love and by knowing you and following your ways. We pray that all your ways, so well displayed in the life on earth of your Son Jesus, should be the example and inspiration for all, both those who are your disciples now and for all those who would reflect and discern your ways more clearly and decide to follow them more dearly. We know that we need to listen to you, seeking your wisdom for ourselves, for our patients in this time of lockdown, for your guidance as to how best to use the time given to us, to dedicate time to prayer, to help us sustain family members and friends, those who are lonely and worried, those who can't access the medical services, those who suffer in mind and body through this difficult time. Lead us to follow your ways of the loving shepherd who cares for one and all, so that we might reach out to the needy and friendless, now and into the future. Help us to support all the agencies still working to assist those in great difficulties, and those who are so fearful of what the future holds for them with work and housing, for those struggling with the demands of small children with limited resources, for those who suffer abuse and need places of refuge and support. May they see your light of love in their darkness. We pray and give thanks for the scientific community around the world, praying that a vaccine would be found to protect all against COVID-19. We know that the research scientists are dedicated people and working very hard to discover an effective vaccine. We ask your blessing on their work, that it would be successful in the near future. We pray for our leaders and world leaders, that they might be wise and considered in all they say and do, and in the weighty decisions they are required to make. We would pray that those who choose the ways of consuming and destructive power, which lead to the strong battling the weak, who deprive their peoples of resources, and who choose to discriminate on grounds of race, religion, and gender, and wage wars, should change their ways and become the agents of the so much needed change in their societies and countries. We pray for our churches whose doors are presently shut, belying all that is going on in their name, to reach out to congregations and others. We give thanks for the words of calm and hope from church leaders, and especially our own Minister Craig, who inspires and comforts with his words each Sunday and at other times. We pray that you sustain him and all church leaders reaching out to church members and to their communities. We pray for the work of Sutton Community Works and give thanks for Mark Tomlinson's leadership, for the 2 days of fasting and prayer led by him, for the food bank supporting more people than ever who are short of food and for all the volunteers working to make available the generously donated food. We know that if we call on you with all our being, you will answer us. May we follow where your love and footsteps show, so that we will live and grow in you and you in us. May we walk by faith every day, surrendering our fears and hopes to you, and pray that your kingdom come on earth. Dear God, you who are able to do so much more than we can ever imagine, come to our world now and be the agent for the end to pandemic and the changes which our world so desperately needs. Amen.
In this time of coronavirus, physical distancing and lockdown, any celebration of Holy Communion is damaged. Across the family of the Church, we cannot today share fully together the one loaf and the one cup. That we cannot do, and we lament. But in communion we follow the command of Christ to remember him. That we can do. We come to remember with thanksgiving Christ's death upon the cross and his resurrection. That we can do. We pray that the Holy Spirit will unite us with Christ and across space and time with one another. That we can do, gathered or scattered as community. Our prayer is that our celebration of Holy Communion may reach out to everyone sharing with us in some way, such that God will unite us with one another and with Christ, that we might be fed by the Holy Spirit in these difficult days. Luke, the evangelist, wrote of our risen Saviour, who at the table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. In company with all believers, in every time and beyond time, we come to know the risen Christ in the breaking of bread. Our hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Let us break bread together.
Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At our Lord's command, and following his example, we too take bread and wine, and as he did, we give thanks to God. Let us pray. You watched over creation, God of patience, as it emerged out of nothingness, meadows where sheep could rest, still pools of water teeming with tadpoles, paths worn smooth by mountain goats. You shaped us in your divine likeness, anointing us with Spirit's breath of life, so we could wander the garden by your side. But that thief sin and that bandit death climbed into Eden by another way, and we followed these strangers' voices. Day by day you sent prophets to us, who challenged us to lead God-centered lives. But we devoted ourselves to that life which is empty and bitter. So then you sent to us Jesus, shaped in human likeness, so we would know you are with us. With those who walk your paths, with those who long to find their way, we offer glad and generous hearts to you. You alone are holy, gate of the way, and Jesus Christ, your child, is shepherd of life. He kept to the path of righteousness, so we might learn how to walk in his footsteps. Knowing our voices, he followed us to the gate of death, where the keeper let him in, locking the gate behind him. But you came another way, and knowing your voice, Jesus followed you out of the tomb, receiving life abundantly for all your children. As we gather in prayer and worship, as we seek to devote ourselves to following Jesus, you lead us to this table where we want for nothing, for your Spirit transforms everyday foods into a sacred feast. Your bread and cup comfort us, nourishing us so we might be together in everything with our sisters and brothers. The broken bread strengthens us to provide clean, still waters to all, to build shelter for those who sleep rough, to feed those who are hungry. Your grace overflows into us so we may offer companionship to those who wander shadowed valleys, an open gate to those longing for a community, voices of compassion and hope to the oppressed. When we follow goodness and mercy to the end of time, we will find you coming out of the kitchen, setting dish upon dish of peace and hope on that great table prepared for all your children, and we will join our hearts and hands as we sing praise and wonder to you, God in community, Holy One. Amen. The bread which we break is communion in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is broken for you. The cup which we take is communion in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ poured out for you. And let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, set your blessing on the bread we have broken, and on the company we share. Renew our common life, that with each other we may share the Scriptures and feel our hearts burning within us on the road. Amen. Our final hymn. Will you come and follow me, if I but call your name? May the fold of Christ keep you safe from the wild things that are too fierce for you. May the door of Christ open wide for your spirit to go out and experience the sunshine of God. May the foresight of Christ the Good Shepherd lead you in fruitful pastures and beautiful places. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and evermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.